Today, we begin lesson number 26 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Nedorim. We are in Perek Zayin, 7th Perek. Today we will study the 6th and 7th Mishnah of the 7th Perek. Perek Zayin, Mishneh Vov, and Mishneh Zayin. Mishneh Vov, in a sense, continues a topic that we had before. We learnt back in the 6th Perek that when a person makes a neder not to eat meat or not to drink wine, then he is permitted to eat or drink the ta'aroves of the meat or the wine, the soup in which the meat was cooked, or the salad into which the wine was poured. Unless he said, konem bosor ze olai, he specified and said, this piece of meat or this glass of wine. In those cases, the ta'aroves is osor if there is sufficient bosor in the ta'aroves or yayin in the ta'aroves to give the taste of the bosor into the mixture or the taste of the wine into the mixture. And we had similar concepts back in the 6th Perek in the Mishnayos there. Here, we're continuing not so much to look at the ta'aroves of something which is osur, but rather at the chilufin or the gidulin of the food which was placed under a vow. Chilufin means, if I place, for example, apples under a vow, and I say that apples are also to me, konem tapuchim olai, and then I trade those apples for bananas, and now I have bananas instead of apples. Those bananas also because they are the chilufin, the exchange for the apples. Or, if I plant the apples and grow an apple tree, am I forbidden to eat the fruits which grow from the apples which I placed under a vow? So the Mishnah says as follows. Mishnah Vov of Perek Zayin. Konam peros ho'elu olai. If a person says, these peros, the peros in front of me, this bowl of fruit, is also to me. Or, konam heim al pi. He says the language that these peros are a konam, have the status, so to speak, of a korbon to my mouth, meaning they're also to me, I can't eat them. Or he says konam hein lifi. In all these cases, where he has specified specific fruits which are in front of him, then osur b'chilufehem, if he exchanges this bowl of fruit for money or for another bowl of fruit, he can't get any use of the money. He can't eat the other bowl of fruit which he exchanged for the bowl of fruit he referred to in his neder. Uve gidulehem. If this fruit is now planted and grows a tree with new fruits, then he cannot derive any, he cannot eat the fruits which grow from the tree which was planted, from the fruits which he prohibited under Oneta. The reason is here because he was miyached, he specified this bowl of fruit, making them a chatichas isur, this bowl of fruit is specifically also. Therefore, so are its chilufim and its gidulin. But suppose a person says, in general, sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani toe, meaning that the person says, apples that I eat are now a konom, so he didn't specify any specific apples, but rather the apples of the world. Or he said, konam peros sha'ani toem, I'm not going to taste apples. In that case, mutor b'chilufehen uv'gidulehen. He is permitted to eat the fruits which he may have exchanged for apples, because his neder was only referring to apples specifically. But if he takes apples and exchanges them for bananas, he never mentioned bananas in his neder. And similarly, the gidulim that he eats are not the peros which he forbade upon himself. This is the approach to this Mishnah, which is taken by some Rishonim, and the Ran, who is the classic commentary on the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, takes that approach. Others, like the Rosh and the commentary Bar Tanura on the Mishnah, take a different approach, and their distinction is between when a person prohibits these peros b'hano, he said, I'm not going to get any benefit from these, from apples. Then he's also b'chilufehen uv'gidulehem, because they came about through the benefit he achieved by exchanging or planting the fruits which he prohibited himself from getting any benefit from. However, if he just says that I'm not going to eat or taste apples, then he is permitted to eat the chilufim or the gidulim of those fruits. A different approach, the Rosh versus the Ran. In any case, let's follow the Ran, and the basic distinction is between specifying these peros versus just generally saying peros. So the Mishnah continues and says, Bidovor shezar'o kolo. When do we say that, if he said in general, peros, he is permitted, b'chilufehen uv'gileihen, this is only if it's a type of fruit or plant which the seed decays. When you put the seed into the ground, it goes through a stage of decay. It's no longer visible as a seed, and of course it sprouts in that manner. So then he is mutur b'gidulehem. And similarly, in the Reisha, when he said, Konam peros ho'elu olai, these fruits are also to me, in which case the Mishnah said he is also begidulehem, but he is not also begidulei gidulehem. Meaning, if he said, this apple is also to me, then he plants that apple and a tree grows. The fruits of that tree are gidulim and they're also. However, if you take that tree and take an apple off of it and plant yet another tree, that second tree will be gidulei gidulehem and would be mutar. So these heterim, in the case of non-specification, just generally peros, when the chilufim and gidulim are mutar, or even in the case of specified peros elu, when the gidulei gidulehem are mutar, that's only in a type of a fruit where the zera is kolo. Something like the example usually given are onions, that you put them in the, I'm sorry, our zera kolo is something like apples, where the seed does decay. Avol bedovo she'ein zaro kolo, but suppose you're speaking of something like onions, where the seed or the onion that you plant remains intact, but sprouts come out of it, it does not decay, then afilu gidulei gidulin asurin. Then the gidulin are asur, because there's always something of the original onion which he asur, which he prohibited, which is still around. Why does it not become botel? After all, you planted a little onion, and the onion now has grown into a huge big onion. You planted a little scallion, and now it's grown into this huge big onion. Why don't we say that it's botel? The reason being, because something which is prohibited through a neder is a dovor sheyesh lo matirin. A person can always be matir neder, can nullify the vow according to the various procedures which we will study later in the sechta, about how one receives a heter and nullifies or retracts or abrogates a vow. And since in this case the onion can always become mutor through hatoras nedorim, so things which can become mutor are called devorim sheyesh lohem matirin, and afilu be'elef lo botel. They never become botel, even 1,000 to 1. So that's Mishneh Vov. Mishneh Zayim, we extend the discussion of chilufin and gidulin to a case where a person makes a neder prohibiting the production of his wife, the ma'ase yedei ishto, that which his wife produces. Ha'omeli ishto, if a person says to his wife, kono ma'ase yodayich olai, that which you perform or produce with your hands, the clothing you make, the table you build, the food you cook, should all be asur to me. Or he says, konim heim al pi, or konim heim lefi. The main thing is, he is laying a vow, imposing a vow, upon whatever his wife does or prepares for him. In such a case, asur b'chilufehen uvegidulehen. If the Baal takes that which his wife produced and exchanges it for money or peros, he cannot derive benefit from that money or peros either. Uvegidulehem. If his wife plants a tree, he cannot get hano'o from, or cannot eat the fruit of that tree. That's if he specified the productions of his wife. Konam ma'ase yodayech olai. But if he just says, she'eni ochel she'eni toe, meaning, your food, I'm not eating it. Your food, I'm not tasting it. Then, mutor b'chilufehen uvegidulehem. Then he is permitted to eat the exchange or the growth of that which she prepared. The reason being, because since he said those words, she'eni ochel or she'eni toe, that's as if he said, I'm only prohibiting eating and tasting, but other types of benefits, namely that which grows out of that which he produced, or that which is exchanged, is purchased by that which she produced, so he's dealing with the exchange and not with the object itself, that was never included in the neder. However, that's true only bedovor shezaro kola. If that which she prepared is something like an apple, if she planted an apple, the apple seed is zaro kola. If you plant it, it decays and then turns into a new apple tree. So that new apple tree is a new entity and he can partake of it. Avol bedovor she'ein zaro kola. We're back to the onions again. If what she planted and grew were onions, and now he wants to take the onions, which he said, any toem, any ochel, and plant them and grow more onions, since there is always some of the original onion which she planted, he cannot have hano from the gidulim, or even the gidule gidulim, either. And so we have finished the seventh Mishnah of the seventh Perek, and with it, we have completed lesson number 26.